On January 1st, 2023, you woke up possibly and thought, what are my resolutions? What are my goals for the year? That's no different than organizations like the Nova Scotia SPCA. What is our strategy for the year? How are we going to grow? Today, we're going to talk about 2023 and how those plans, well, Mother Nature had a different idea for us.
So Karen, did you actually wake up January 1st thinking about the goals of the Nova Scotia SPCA?
Of course I did.
You're awesome. We all
That's
did.
A good answer. That's a good answer. You know, I wasn't asked, but I did too. Because that's what you say in front of your boss. So joining me today, for the first time, we have multiple guests in the room. So we have Elizabeth Murphy, the CEO of the Nova Scotia SPCA. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
And we have Karen DeWolf, the Chief Financial Officer of the Nova Scotia SPCA.
Who is the real boss of us all?
Well, the most important person. I mean, making sure the vet bills are paid and the staff.
Thank you.
A little bashful. So today we want to talk about 2023. But beforehand, to loosen up, we play a game of fetch. So are we ready to play a game
ready.
Of fetch?
I'm ready.
Okay, Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Who was your first pet?
Oh, Snuffleupagus.
Real or not imaginary?
No, it was, no, I named my first pet, she was a calico cat, Snuffleupagus. And yes, she was named after the character on Sesame Street.
Karen, name your first pet.
I'm going to say it was a dog. He was a beautiful German shepherd and his name was Max.
And I just want to correct myself because her full name was Snuffleupagus. We called her Snuffles.
Okay. Elizabeth, if animals could talk, who would be the nicest?
The nicest. Oh my goodness, that is a crazy question. The nicest animal would be a sloth. Who, by the way, there is a sloth on our enforcement flashes.
Okay.
Things I didn't know about the SPCA.
It's crazy. Crazy. I do believe it's going to go through a reinvention in the next year.
If animals could talk, who would be the nicest? That's a tough question. I would say a kitten.
Aww.
A little baby kitten.
Kittens right. are mean and they scratch.
Well, that goes into our next question. Elizabeth, if animals could talk, who would be the meanest?
Oh, no. Still kittens wouldn't be the meanest. They'd just be the sassiest. Who would be the meanest?
Yeah.
Animals aren't mean. A mean animal... I don't know that anything's just mean.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't wrap it up and answer you definitively. I don't like to, I don't know.
That's okay. Karen, do you have an answer?
The meanest animal?
If they could talk.
If they could talk, who would be the meanest? I would go with one of Chihuahua because that is what I'm familiar with and they can be quite nasty.
I do believe, I'm sorry, how many Chihuahuas have you rescued? In your lifetime.
I'm not sure that the number is important.
Because you're worried that perhaps you could be a hoarder?
A little bit. I think we're at 6.
Oh right? My gosh. I was actually going to say, is it lower than 5? Trying to save you. Think
nope.
It'd be lower than 5. So you're at 6. Right. So Karen's cut off. Someone needs to make a note of
no,
that.
You said how many have I rescued? Okay. That's a total number. Not all right
now.
Oh,
I'm sorry. How big is your herd right now at home?
Technically or?
No, literally.
Literally? I own 3.
Okay, nuts. Wait a second. No, you were just playing games there. You own 3.
Yes.
How many are you fostering?
2.
So they're palliative care, I believe.
Yes, they are.
Awesome. Okay, so
nice.
There's 5.
Through palliative care. Okay. I don't want to be a ref for the next hour, but this will be interesting having 2. Yes. Last question in our game of fetch. Elizabeth, who is your hero?
Well, I didn't expect that. I think I need to be better prepared for these. Who's my hero? Wow. I'd have to say my grandfather, but that's all I'm going to say.
That's fair, Karen. This is our way of getting our relaxed.
Relaxed. That's stressful.
Yeah, that's stressful. I was like, so who's your
yeah.
hero?
Start back to you.
My hero is not a person, but it's a movement, and that is women who stand up for all other women.
Yeah, I shouldn't ask that question.
That's not fair. She had inside information.
Exactly. Making us all look bad, Sarah.
No.
I don't think that's what you're supposed to. That's your role as the communication marketing communications director. Mm-hmm. But what else?
a great start. So now that we're comfortable, everybody's comfortable, we're going to look back at 2023. And we're doing that because it's the time of year here at the SPCA where we release our annual report, our look back on the last year. Our report is available now online for anybody to read, and we'll put the link into the comments. Our report this year is called Be Pet Paired. Isn't that fun?
So fun.
So fun.
And we're talking about how we needed to be prepared, how we all need to be prepared in the future. And so I want to start with the biggest thing. And Elizabeth, in the report, you talk about how the emergency responses we participated in 2023 shaped our organization, and how could they not? So let's start with the wildfires in May of 2023. Mm-hmm. When the alert went out, and walk us through what was the next steps for the SPCA.
So when the alert went out, actually, I live very close to the Tantallon area. My daughter was actually working in the Hubley Mall up there. I just got told to be louder. That's what distracted me. So when the call went out, I was actually sitting on my deck at home because the weather was really, really beautiful. And I had friends over, and one of my friends actually received a phone call about what was happening. My daughter then called me to tell me about what was happening with the fire. Instantly, everybody got up to mobilize. The first thing I did was grab my daughter from her workplace, and I drove into the Nova Scotia SPCA. As I was driving in to pick up my daughter, there was billowing clouds. It was very dramatic and terrifying. And already, as I was driving down the highway, there were people lined up along the roadside with their animals in their vehicles. And so I knew that once I grabbed my daughter, I needed to get to the Nova Scotia SPCA to work with staff to figure out how we could be of assistance. So it all happened from there.
And I remember, you know, we were all in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and you had sent out people. We went and got bottled water, and mm-hmm. we were loading up the vans, and then a brigade, a convoy, yeah. Went out, and you were in it. So where did you go?
So I actually drove up back towards the fires, because as I said, I knew people were alongside the road. So I wanted to make sure that they had containers to be able to give their animals water and food. People were there alongside the road because they didn't know how long they would be out of their houses. Nobody knew how bad the fires were. It was getting late at night. It was dark. There was also an emergency location that was actually set up across the street for myself. And so, the people who were in the van with me, we went to that location to try and help triage people and their animals, and to give them aid in terms of the housing situations they could find with their pets.
So what I remember from that night, I was here mm-hmm. at the SPCA in Dartmouth, and we had put out that people, if they needed to temporary house, we opened our pause and support program, which you'd read about our pause and support program on our website, but we opened it up for temporary housing because people learned that they weren't going home mm-hmm. and maybe they were going to hotels or family members that couldn't take their animals. And that night, I mean, we took in close to 70 mm-hmm. animals. I brought in 70 animals between 7 p.m. and 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. that night.
Yeah, we had staff from around the area meeting people on the sides of the road, taking in their animals through the phone calls that we had received. Yeah, it was a lot of animals, and I was really proud of staff. There was a large number of staff who not only came themselves, but brought their families to support and assist. And it was really gratifying, and I'm really proud of staff and how they jumped in quickly to help. So,
well, and I mean, that's the thing. Our shelter is not normally open till 2 a.m. No. in the morning. And so we had shelter staff there. And I think one of the things that you say in our annual report, there was no way to know that night mm-hmm. because the thing is happening, you know, a little bit quietly because mm-hmm. it wasn't at the speed maybe that it was going, but we had a fire started in Shelburne
yeah.
that we had staff at as well, mm-hmm. but we didn't know how long we would go on this. And so over the next week, we were behind the lines, and Karen, I know that you were behind the lines, checking. So what was it like when you had to go and check to see an animal was home?
So I think it's, I just like to clarify. So in addition to being our director of fine hens, Karen is actually also has her appointment as an enforcement officer. She's a woman of many talents. So I think I just need to give that clarification.
What was the most impactful? Is that what your question was? Well, what was it, you know, what was it like? There's a lot of emotion. Mm. You know, everybody in the province had a lot of emotion. And here you were one of the people who were going and checking on animals. What was that like?
I think it was, I mean, it was amazing to be able to help and to be able to, you know, give back in the ways that we always do. But this was like a next level way of giving back. It was kind of eerie being in those communities when there were no people, there were no cars, there was no activity. It was odd to see that. But then knowing and speaking with homeowners and, you know, being able to reassure them that their pets are safe, their chickens are fed and watered, they're, you know, everyone's accounted for, giving those people relief in a situation where they really didn't know what was happening was, it was pretty great to be able to be a part of that.
And what were some of the animals that you helped rescue out of homes and reunite with their families?
Oh my goodness. We had, well, chickens. We brought out some people's chickens, cats, of course, guinea pigs, oxalotl. I had to learn how to say that word during the wildfires because I didn't know what it was. It's a little fish creature.
Isn't that Minecraft?
Minecraft?
There's something about them. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know Minecraft. Sorry.
13-year-olds out there. There's something about that animal that's special.
Yeah. It looks like a Pokemon creature to me, but I don't know. Anyways, we did that. I can't even think of what else. Birds. We had birds. We had a lot of cats, a lot of chickens, a few fish, not too many. The oxalotl was one. I guess the other thing that was really impactful for me was the trust that the public had for us as an organization, you know, to allow us entry into their homes, to put their faith in us that we will take care of their pets when they can't. That was really, you know, really a great thing to be a part of.
So we had... we were with to get behind the lines, to get the information from the residents, to rescue their animals and take them out of the wildfires. We worked with many emergency response agencies. So who were some of those agencies that we were working alongside?
Well, we worked really closely with RCMP. They were dealing with basically the road closures, allowing us, you know, into those areas, knowing that we were doing it safely. We dealt with Department of Natural Resources, fire services. Everyone was there. Everyone was ready to help. It was really a group effort. I've not worked in that capacity with these organizations with the SPCA over the years. So it was really nice to have them work beside us and work with us and to help us save the animals.
And it was really great to... We housed over 200 animals. I think that's the thing too, is that people don't realize, you know, we brought out animals and reunited them with their families, but we also kept animals in the shelter, for a while until families could be reunited. Mm-hmm. And,
we had some, I know we, even in the provincial office, we had our coffee room was full of kittens. Mm-hmm. You know, I've saw pigs outside. There was a lot of variety of animals. We had them in our bathrooms. So yeah, we had them everywhere.
Well, and our shelter systems also really helped because Yarmouth during the Shelburne fires were taking in a lot of animals as well. Mm-hmm. Kings, you know, this was a mass deployment of staff from across the province, Elizabeth. And so when you look back on 2023 and you think about college students that pitched in, the shelter mm-hmm. staff, enforcement, administration, the fundraising team, the mm-hmm. hospitals, like how do you summarize your feelings on that to people when you talk about 2023?
I mean, I'm used to our organization and I think sometimes I take it for granted, but I am used to working with people in various disciplines across sort of this animal welfare world that we're in, having the capability to jump in and support as needed. And so I'm just trying to say that I think I take that for granted. And yet on the other hand, you know, when I can take after the fact, I'm just so appreciative. I'm appreciative not only to the staff and the students and the volunteers who like come on site to help, but, you know, truly it's the donors in that moment of need who, you know, give us the financial ability to be able to respond to the community. You know, when I started 10 years ago, you know, I was working out of a small office in the guts of a mall, you know, and there was, you know, about half a kilometer from the shelter. We had no windows. We were truly in the bowels. You know, we had just sort of a couple of months earlier had opened our first hospital that only serviced our one shelter and, you know, was doing a handful of spays and neuters. And just how we've grown because of the faith and the trust that the community has had in us and how they've financially supported us and how we've built our programs to have sort of, you know, sometimes like a built-in cost recovery. You know, I'm appreciative to, you know, the municipalities and the provincial government who pay for our services, you know, that also allow us to have appropriate training, you know, so our staff, you know, it's not just that, you know, we have staff who can jump into vehicles and go and help families, but, you know, we do as an organization make sure that we are cross-training all of our staff and our college students so that they're able to know how to trap, you know, to trap animals that are scared and terrified and in certain situations and spaces. You know, we have the catch poles, we have the kennels, we have the vehicles, we have the gloves that you need. It's so, and it really does, it takes a village, it takes all of us. So
I think it was nice too for me when the community came forward in other ways, mm-hmm. bringing us supplies, bringing us dog food, bringing water, bringing snacks to the shelter staff, like all of those things mm-hmm. really help, you know, keep the morale up, keep everybody working hard. So it's really great that we have so many different ways to keep, you know, keep mm-hmm. those efforts moving forward. Yeah. So along those lines, in total, in 2023, we helped through a variety of ways over 16,000 animals. And we do that with no core government funding for all of our services. So Karen, you know, as the finance director, how do we raise that money?
Well, we have a few different ways. Majority is through donations. Our donors are, you know, the lifeline that we have to save animals. We have to get, you know, a certain amount of animals that we can treat or that we can help every year. It increases every year as well. Everything is more expensive. The cost of everything goes up. But we don't want to stop helping those animals. We want to continue to help as many as we can and as many that are in need.
So we also have, you know, there's, when I think of the various ways that we have, we get our financial support, our donors help us through the lottery, right? They help us through, even when if you're looking at our social media posts on our Facebook, you know, when something's happening or if we have a need or a wish list, you know, we ask there and there's always a tremendous response from our requests. You know, it's meaningful that our shelters can go out onto their Yarmouth Facebook or their Cape Breton Facebook or, you know, Colchester Facebook. And they'd be like, you know, we need bleach, we need paper towel. And I'm telling you that I think within half an hour, bleach and paper towel tends to show up at the shelter. And we're appreciative for that. It helps. So, you know, in addition to our direct mails and the things that Karen's already mentioned, you know, there's, you know, we have our thrift stores, you know, people coming to our thrift stores help support our programs. You know, there's many ways.
Be remiss to not mention it's May for when we're putting this podcast out. Which is Leave a Legacy.
I know what it is.
Month.
I know what it is.
Leave a Legacy Month. So yeah. If you were thinking about how you can support animals as part of your legacy, you should reach out to the Krista at the SPCA and we'll talk to you about that. So moving through our year, we had floods, and during the floods, we took in some animals who were affected back into our Paws and Support program. And we were really focusing that summer on the new shelter, building the new shelter. And how exciting is it? Because you've both been here for 10 years plus, I guess. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be the first time, and we'll probably have a podcast just about this, but this is the first time the modern day SPCA has built a shelter. And so how excited are you? And thinking back to when you first were stepping into the build last year, you know, what are you most excited about with this new shelter?
So I am very excited for the North Nova Animal Shelter being built in Stellarton. It's very exciting. And actually, it brings back memories of when I first started with the Nova Scotia SPCA. I was traveling around introducing myself to everybody to get to know people in the animal welfare world and find out what everybody was doing. And honestly, I was shocked, you know, because at that time, 10 years ago, you know, there were still some locations that were using lobster traps with chicken wire over top of them as kenneling for animals. And so just knowing how far we've come from 10 years ago to now building a new shelter from scratch. And what's exciting about this shelter is that as we're building it, we're trying and testing new things because we want to build a shelter that will stand the test of time. We want to be able to use materials that are beneficial to the animals who come into our care, making sure that we have things like noise control, making sure we're using materials that over time will not age or chip away, because as we know in the industry, animals and people are very hard on shelters. So it's very, very exciting. And this is really the first of many. So we're trying different things because we are going into other communities to sort of build brand new shelters. And it's difficult, but it's worthy. We have some amazing programs. I just want to be part of making sure that our shelters can stand the test of time, because our animals and our communities deserve it.
That's beautifully wrapped up, and we will talk. We'll have another whole episode about North Nova, I'm sure. But the fundraiser and the finance director in the room here is more builds. We're just shaking with excitement.
So it is about the amount of money. So yes, she is.
But it's also exciting too because of the opportunities that it brings by having the thrift store attached to the shelter, by having a hospital there to serve our community. All of these things is like, it's like our first kind of
all in one.
It's our first all in one. And we want to try to replicate that model if we can in other communities, because it really does benefit everyone in the community as well as all the animals that we serve. So it is really exciting.
Yeah. And it has that social service, social enterprise in it. That's what the thrift stores are. I mean, they are only there as a revenue generator to help support the needs of the shelter. The hospital, while not necessarily a revenue generator, you know, it still adds to our sustainability because it reduces the cost of our veterinary care to the animals in our care. But at the same time, we're able to provide necessary and essential services, you know, to the community.
And animals in that area, too, we can treat them faster, more effectively. You know, we can give them the best care that we have that they deserve. So yeah. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
And so just touching on thrift stores, if you didn't hear our podcast, go back into our podcast after you finish listening to this one, because we have an interview with the regional manager of thrift stores to learn more. So August, you know, just moving on in the year, August saw our second graduate class of veterinary assistants. And,
amazing.
You know, September saw the third class of veterinary assistants start. But then what comes up in September is a hurricane, Hurricane Lee. And once again, we opened our Paws and Support. And we had a gentleman who was unhoused, who had found shelter, but the shelter wouldn't take in
his dogs. Mm. So we were safely able to take in his dogs. And when Hurricane Lee had passed through, there was wildfires raging in the Northwest Territories. And why would that affect us? And so, Karen, I have this vision of you when we brought in the 16 dogs from the Northwest Territories. They flew in. They got here at night. We loaded them at the airport, and we brought them here. The first face all 16 dogs saw was yours. And what's interesting to me is, you know, as the finance person, you're dealing with the spreadsheets and the checks and the accountants all day, but then you immediately were the most comforting human. I'm going to get emotional that these dogs saw. So when you heard that we were bringing in dogs from somebody's wildfire, what did you want to do? Were you the first one there to say, let me help? Mm-hmm. And why?
I don't know. I just always have the urge to be there. I mean, the reason I ever came to the SPCA over 10 years ago was to be with the animals, to help the animals. I'm more dog than cat, but, you know, helping.
It's okay. I make up for it. I'm totally cat.
Yeah. But these dogs specifically, they obviously were in need. They're going to have a very long day, very traumatic day. They're going to see new things, smell new things, hear new things. And I do. I love it. And I guess that's my draw to enforcement as well. I love the hands-on with the animals and with the people as well to be able to help families in need. These guys didn't necessarily have a family yet, but helping us to get them to their forever family is what I love about what we do. I really enjoy working with the dogs. I think over the years we've gained a lot of experience on how to get them in and out quickly with as little stress as possible without anyone getting hurt, all those kinds of things. So I just like to be part of that and make sure it all goes smoothly so that the next time we do it, it can go just as smoothly and help even more animals.
And as a plug for the Nova Scotia SPCA, in terms of being an employer, it is important to me that we're able to feed the passions of our staff. You know, what some might not understand is that we have a lot of professionals who work for our organization, and Karen is one of them. We have, you know, other accountants. We have people who work in the tech field. We have people who work in the development field. And they're attracted to working for us, like in their professional capacity. But the reality is that as an employer, the Nova Scotia SPCA recognizes that we also need to feed people's passions. We know why people want to come work for us. And, it's important that we give staff space to do that. Now, Karen did have to find that space at nighttime because her work has to get done. I'm just kidding. No, there are times when, you know, in the middle of the day, there'll be a need and, you know, Karen's able to put on her uniform and go out. So
Elizabeth, as a CEO, did you place yourself in the CEO's role, like in the shoes of the Hay River Animal Shelter CEO who had to evacuate with these animals, mm-hmm. When this was first brought to us? And what was your response when you got the call? So again, you can read about it in the annual report, but Veterinarians Without Borders was working with Hay River Animal Shelter. The animals had to be evacuated and needed a place, you know, so you went through these wildfires yourself. What was your thoughts?
So the reality is that any time an individual or an organization is reaching out to the Nova Scotia SPCA, if we have the capacity and the ability to help, we will. You know, our staff are motivated, so I'm never worried that I'm, you know, putting too much on staff. I ask and I check in, but just it's the nature of our staff. We all want to help. And I think actually that if anyone in this organization was like, no, you know, we just need a bit of a break. We've had our own fire. Like, that's too much for us. I actually think staff might revolt. it's a positive reflection on them. You know, what I'm trying to say is that often I need to work in the opposite. You know, I am the one checking in, making sure that, you know, we have the capacity, but the team really comes together and we always find a way to help when it's safe and appropriate.
I think the correlation too for us with just have been through our own wildfires, knowing how scary that was, knowing how much work it was. I mean, there's certainly plenty of shelters between us and Hay River. Obviously, there's hundreds of animal shelters that could help. But I think for us, it was because that's what we've just been through. And we do always want to help. I think it just, it made us a bit more, maybe a little more compassionate than some others may have been in that moment, just because of our experiences.
Yeah, I think it's true. So I think both are true in the fact that there's lots of animal shelters in between. They were full and they were saying no. And it's not that we were empty.
No.
And, you know, we want to make that, you know, clear. It's not that we were empty, but our team really pulled together to say, you know, we're so grateful it wasn't our shelters who were evacuated. So
we were just there. But that could have been us.
That could have been us.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, it wasn't us. And let's hope it won't be us, but we were there to help. And, you know, a little bonus is that we got to name the puppies because they were unnamed. And so we got to honor Hay River with their names, and those names are all available online.
And I think, it speaks to our foster program as well.
Right.
Our foster program is so strong, and we have such great support from our foster families that we could not have done it without them. I mean, we would have found another way to do it somehow, but having those foster families willing to help and, like, here at a moment's notice, like, that's huge.
And another great time where college students got hands-on experience, mm-hmm. because the college students were there helping us as well, and yep. volunteers, and
the walking, the feeding, the cleaning, all of that. Yeah, it's a great experience for them.
Yeah, honestly, if you were wanting to work in the future animal welfare world, you should find out about our college, because you get hands-on experience with animals of all varieties.
So much hands-on.
At the drop of a hat. And we're fun.
So not to say that the rest of 2023 went without its things. You know, it definitely, we had programs and we had more animal intake, and, you know, we were doing our job. But when we look at, like, the big things for 2023, we can end there. Now, we know we've already been through depopulating a shelter in 2024 due to weather. So that's for next year's annual report. But what?
Note to self, I will never again drive in a tall transport truck over a large bridge. It was terrifying.
To all our friends past the Seal Island Bridge, Elizabeth will not be coming up to visit that way.
Another note, Karen will never drive with Elizabeth in said van over said bridge.
There was a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
I know that because I ended up taking Elizabeth's spot on the way home.
I refused to go in that vehicle.
Yeah, so,
I want I now need vehicles close to the ground.
So Karen and I took the animal transport vehicle back with all of the dogs.
It was terrifying, wasn't it?
No, it was fine.
Oh, no, it was dark. That's why. You can see how terrifying it was.
It's fine. Yeah. So just thinking about 2024, and maybe this year, June 1st, 2024, you woke up and thought about the goals that you had for the organization. So from what we learned from 2023, for instance, Karen, you know, I know that we took out bearded dragons. We took out geckos.
Oh, I forgot about the bearded dragon.
Yeah, we took out a lot of animals. So what should listeners do to be prepared just in case they have to evacuate with their animals?
It's interesting because I didn't think about it even for myself at home to have all of these things collected, because I never thought this really would ever happen. So, I mean, it is really important to have, you know, carriers handy. Ones that, you know, you can practice putting your pets in it up so they're not frightened during that kind of a situation. You know, extra food, extra blankets. Having your pet microchipped is huge. If it ever did get separated from you, we can track them down. You know, vet records. If you are going to be displaced for some time, you might need those to put your animal or pet in, you know, a boarding facility perhaps. You know, all the things that you think about for yourself, medications, if your animal is on medications, bring, you know, make sure you have all of those things. Recent photo, I guess, you know, all the same things you would do for yourself, maybe your children, you know, your families, because we all know how big a part our animals are in our families. So, yeah, basically a little go bag with all the emergency things that you need, maybe their favorite treats or their favorite toy or stuffy or blanket or bed, just whatever you need to make them comfortable and keep them comfortable and as, you know, little stress as possible during a very stressful situation.
So Elizabeth, Karen has just pet paired our listeners, our pet families, in case something happens. And I don't want to put it out there because we have gone through hurricanes and floods and
absolutely
snowstorms and wildfires. But my question is, in 2024, those things are to happen. Will the Nova Scotia SPCA be there for pets and pet families?
Absolutely. We are even more prepared than we were previously. Thanks to the support of Nova Scotia SPCA and all of the individuals who care about the work that we do. We have had generators installed in our shelters. Our vans have emergency go kits. We have radios. So there's a lot of new tools that we have so that we can be even of more service and get ourselves on the roads more quickly in support.
So I want to thank both of my guests for being here for the first time doing two of these. And so thank you very much for joining
probably
us.
The last one. But
we will be back and reflecting on 2023. Just like our annual report, we want to dedicate this podcast to honor the pets that were lost this year and the families who missed them.